طول بيجين شيخ.
يا الله.
Sheikh, we are ready when you are.
I'm ready, alhamdulillah.
Okay, let us begin, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to lesson number 2 of this new series, Masail al-Jahiliyah, with our Honorable Sheikh Salem al-Amri. Inshallah, I will pass the mic and the screen to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh can begin. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم العمري.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we are in the introduction of Masail al-Jahiliyyah, and this is the second session, and we are going through the aqidah and the belief of the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, which he himself wrote, because this imam has been accused by his enemies and opponents. Many lies were made against him. So it is high time for people to know this imam and what he believes, and all these things that are said about him and these false accusations are not true. And my advice for anyone to be always objective in his research and has to be impartial and fair. So if you want to talk about the Sheikh rahimahullah, or you want to criticize or critique, then study his works. And don't quote out of context or quote what people did or said, or some of his followers made certain things. He's not accountable for what his followers or some of his followers did. If someone made a mistake of the students of the Sheikh, you cannot blame the Sheikh. So this has to be made, should be made clear. Clearly, and should be understood correctly. So when you study the works of the Sheikh, you don't see these things and these false accusations. So let us proceed and see what he believes, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, وَأَعْتَقِدُ أن القرآن كلام الله. منزل غير مخلوق، منه بدأ وإليه يعود. This is the belief of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. I believe that the Quran is the speech of Allah, Kalamullah. Munazzalun, revealed, sent down. Ghayru makhluq, uncreated. Minhu bada, from him started. Wa ilayhi ya'ud, and it will go back to him. This is the belief of the Muslims. This is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is the belief of the Salaf al-Salih. This is the belief of the four Imams. The belief of the three generations. So the aqidah of the Shaykh, the doctrine, the belief of the Shaykh is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَأَعْتَقِدُوا أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَمُ اللَّهِ. The Quran we have is the speech of Allah. Anyone says that this is not the speech of Allah, he's not a Muslim. He's not a Muslim. Is a kafir. Anyone says the Quran is not Kalamullah, he's a kafir. He's not a Muslim. Because when Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira said, in hadha illa qawlu al-bashar, Allah said, sa'uslihi saqar. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, by the way, he was the father of Khalid, okay? Ibn al-Walid. He was known that he is one of the critics of poetry. He knows poetry very well. So Quraysh told him, say something about this Quran. So he went and he listened to the Prophet ﷺ and he read to him. So he was mesmerized. He came back to his people. Quraysh are waiting what he's going to say. When they saw his facial expressions, they said, the Quran influenced him. Don't you see his face is totally different today, now? So they asked him. He started to praise the Quran, the speech of Allah. He said, I know poetry. This cannot be poetry. Amazing. This must be the speech of the Lord. And it will be always remain supreme. And nothing can be compared to it. So when they heard him saying this, they say, you have to say something different. If the people hear what you are saying, they will follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So under the pressure of his people, Quraysh, as the Quran described him, that he started to think. And squeezing his head, squeezing his mind, what to say. And finally he said, this is the speech of a human being. So when he said that, Allah said, sa'uslihi saqar. Because he said, this is the speech of a human being. هذا إلا قول البشر. This is the speech of a human being. So Allah said, sa'uslihi saqar, because he said, this is the speech of a human being. When it is the speech of the Lord and the creator of human beings. So if anyone says that the Quran is not the speech of Allah, he's not a Muslim, he's a kafir. Because it is Kalamullah. As Allah said, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كلام الله ثم أبلغه معناه، حتى يسمع كلام الله. If any of the mushriks seeks your protection, grant him protection until he hears the speech of Allah. Then deliver him to his destination. So the Quran is the speech of Allah. Allah spoke it. Jibreel heard it from Allah. Azza wa Jal. This is the belief of the Muslims. وَأَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مُنَزَّلُ. Allah sent it down through Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel read it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran came down in pieces, in portions, according to the incidents and the occasions. It was sent down from Bayt, from Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, to the Bayt al-Izzah. And from Bayt al-Izzah came down in piecemeal, in portions according to the incidents and the occasions, events. So Jibreel would come down to the Prophet ﷺ, read the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ would commit it to memory, because Allah promised that He is going to preserve the Quran and collect the Quran in His heart. Inna alayna jam'ahu Quran. It is upon us, Allah is talking about Himself, to collect this Quran in your heart and enable you to recite it. Because in the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ, Jibreel was, when the moment Jibreel is reading, reciting, he is reciting. So Allah told him, لا تحرك به لسانك. Don't move your tongue with it. Don't worry. You will never forget it. We'll collect it in your heart. So then the Prophet ﷺ would just listen, and Jibreel will recite, and then Jibreel would leave, and everything is collected in his heart. And he would read it to the disciples, to the Sahaba, the scribes, the writers of the Wahi. So they will commit it to memory and write it also on different materials. So the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, was transmitted orally. That's the most important thing. On top of that, the writing. And Allah called it Kitab, Kitab, because it is collected. Because Kataba means to collect, to join things. So it is the Kitab, writing, you join the letters together. So it is Kitab because it is collected, joined together, the surahs joined together, and the ayat joined together. So it is the speech of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks whenever He wants. And this is one of His attributes. The attributes of Allah is this attribute of speech, sifat al-kalam. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah spoke to Moses on the Mount of Sinai. And Moses heard the speech of Allah. So that's why when he heard his speech, he wanted to see him. And he asked Allah, I want to see you. Because he heard him. So Allah told him, no, lan tarani, at this moment, now you cannot see me because your physique will not be able to look at me. Your physical structure. And I'll show it to you now. ولكن انظر إلى الجبل. Look at the mountain. فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. If the mountain remains intact, then you'll be able to see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا خر موسى صعقا. So when Allah appeared to the mountain turned into powder. Crushed. And Musa fell unconscious. So Allah speaks. And Allah can be seen in the akhir, not in the dunya. He appeared to the mountain. And the mountain could not withstand the appearance of Allah. But on the day of resurrection, will be totally different. So Allah will make us capable to look at Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. So the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters, is the speech of Allah. وَاعْتَقِدُوا أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مُنَزَّلٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. It's not created. It's not created. Because the Mu'tazilite, they say the Quran is created. And this is kufr. To say the speech of Allah, which is one of the attributes of Allah, is created. If the attribute is created, the speech is created, how about the speaker? My speech is created, then I am created. But is Allah's speech created? The answer, no. Because He's the creator. So His attributes are not created. I hope you are following. Of course, the Mu'tazila, they didn't mean this, but they were misled and confused by the works of the Greek philosophers. So they started applying the Greek logic to the attributes of Allah. You judge Allah according to the works of a human being. To the works of Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates. You cannot. Allah is beyond that. Allah's attributes cannot be comprehended beyond that. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There's nothing like unto Him. He's all hearer, all seer. So He cannot. And I want you to recall, my dear brothers and sisters, that what is attributed or ascribed to Allah can be categorized into different categories. What we attribute to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If what is ascribed or attributed to Allah is something material, something tangible, and it is attributed to Him, ascribed to Him, added to Him, then this object has been attributed to Him to give this object a sort of sanctity, sacredness, or honor. This we call it idafa tashrif, giving an honor to this object that Allah attributed to Himself. For example, Baytullah, we say Baytullah, the house of Allah, Allah's house, which means the Kaaba. The Kaaba is something material. It stands in its own independent entity. And Allah said, it is my house. This is to give sacredness to this place, to this entity, to make it sanctified, holy. So it is not his house in the sense that Allah lives in it. It's just to give honor and holiness and sanctity to this house, that it is holy, sacred. The same thing, naqatullahi wa suqiyaha, naqatullah, the she camel of Salih, which was the miracle given to Salih alayhi salam. So Allah is saying naqatullah. So the she camel is something material, independent entity, object, tangible. So Allah said, it is my she camel. This is to give also an honor and say, this camel needs to be respected. And you should not be neither hamstrung or harmed in any way. But you know, they hamstrung it. So they hamstrung the camel and Allah destroyed them because of that. So if what is attributed, I hope you recall this. And I hope that you are taking notes. So what is attributed? It's something material like Baytullah, Naqatullah. This is just a form of attribution. You attribute something, ascribing something to Allah and to give this object or this entity holiness, sacred, to make it sacred, holy, and sanctified. If what is attributed to Allah, it is also something material, something tangible, created, but it doesn't exist in its own. It doesn't exist in its own like the house and the camel. It has to exist in something else. It has to be contained in something else. It has to be carried in something else by something else. Like what? Like the soul, the ruh. The ruh. The spirit, the soul, the ruh is something material, created. And the proof that it is something material created, that the angel of death talks to it when we are dying, he talks and communicates with the soul, the spirit, and it starts coming out, moving, flowing. Like a drop of water, the soul of the mu'min. And the moment it comes out, and it seems it comes through the mouth, the angel collects it immediately in a shroud from the Jannah. And the soul of the believer, a pleasant smell will come out. And immediately it will be wrapped in that shroud and carried by the angels to the Jannah. Because it cannot stand in its own. It has to be carried in the dunya, in the body. When it comes out, the angels, they carry it. When they reach the Jannah, the souls will be placed in birds. So they will be carried by birds in the Jannah. So now this soul, when Allah attributes it to him, it is also the same like the house of Allah and the shikamil of Allah. So when Allah described Isa alayhi salam, wa ruhun min, and he is a spirit from Allah, or Adam as a spirit from Allah, or I blew into him a spirit from me, it doesn't mean there is something from Allah inside the human being. No. The soul is not part of Allah. The soul is something created by Allah. Keep this in mind, because there's a common mistake, and you hear many people that say, we have something divine, part of God in us. No, that is nonsense. The soul is something created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Isa as ruhun min to give an honor to Isa alayhi salam. Doesn't mean he is part of Allah, as the Christians believe. No. So Isa alayhi salam is one of the souls that he created. إن مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب قال له كن فيكون. So the likeness of Adam in the sight of Allah, like the likeness of Adam. He created him and he said to him, be, and he was. He was. And the meaning of the hadith, وَكَلِمَتُهُ, his word, it is the command. The meaning here, it is the command that he was created, Isa was created by the command, be, and he was. That's why Imam Ahmad said, Isa, alayhi salam, Isa, kana, bikun. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ كُنْ عِيسَى كَانَ بِكُنْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ كُنْ. Isa was by the word be, and he was not the word be. Try to understand this. عِيسَى كَانَ, he was, بِكُنْ, by the command of Allah, be. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ كُنْ, and he was not the word be. He was created by the word be, the command of Allah, which means he is created. Because the command be is the speech of Allah, an attribute of Allah, and it was not created. So this is the third type, a third category. Third category, something tangible, material, but doesn't exist, like the ruh, the soul. And if Allah attributes it to himself, also to give it honor and to tell us this is something important, something holy, something sacred, the soul. So we have three types. The fourth . If it is not something material, it's not something material, it's not something tangible, it is something immaterial, it is something abstract, it's a meaning only, abstract, it's not something you touch it. So if it is something abstract, immaterial, and it is attributed to Allah, then it is an attribute of Allah. Like what? Like ilmullah, ilm, the knowledge of Allah, something abstract. Qudratullah, Allah's power. It is just an attribute. So if it is something abstract and attributed to Allah, something immaterial and yet attributed to Allah, then that is siva, that is an attribute of Allah. And the kalam, the speech, is siva. The speech is something abstract. So it is an attribute of Allah. When Allah is saying kalamullah, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, which means it is an attribute of Allah. سبحانه وتعالى. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam, and the Quran is his speech. And it's not created. So if someone says the Quran is created, then that means he's saying Allah is created, which is kufr. And the Mu'tazilites are the ones who fell into this satanic trap when they said the Quran is created. That's why Imam Ahmad stood against them firmly and told them, this is the Quran, Kalamullah, and it's not created. It is his speech. It is his speech. The Ash'ari, don't be surprised, the Ash'aris, the Ash'arites, they are saying the same thing that the Mu'tazilites, same aqidah. And they are saying it is created. But they play with words and they say it is ibarah an kalamillah nafsi, which means it is the actually not the speech of Allah. Allah didn't speak the Quran. It is Jibreel who paraphrased it and made it and said it to Muhammad. It's not Allah who spoke it, no. Ibara an kalam Allah. It is Jibreel who knew what Allah wanted and he paraphrased it and said it and put it in his own wordings to the Prophet. This what the Ash'aris are saying. واعتقد ان القران كلام الله منزل غير مخلوق منه بدا. Started from him, Allah spoke it. واليه يعود. The Sheikh is referring to the hadith in which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a night will come when the Quran will be taken away from the chests, the minds, memories, and from the books. People get up, they don't recall anything of the Quran, nothing there in the Mus'haf, nothing is there. Quran is taken. وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ وَأَنَّهُ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ حَقِيقَةً. Allah spoke the Quran, Allah spoke it. وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, and he sent it down upon his servant, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَرَسُولِهِ وَأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ وَحْيِهِ. Okay, so Allah sent it down upon the heart of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his servant and messenger, and also to Jibreel, who is the archangel, who's the ambassador between the prophets and messengers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always comes with the revelation to all of them. And he is Amin, trustworthy, regarding the preservation of the revelation. He conveys it as he heard it, and he conveys it also to the Prophet. وَسَفِيرَهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ. And also, he sent this Quran upon the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, who is considered to be the ambassador between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the prophets are the links between us and Allah. Allah chose them. He inspires them, reveals to them the revelation, and they communicate it to us. And he has given them proofs, irrefutable material, which we call the mu'jizat, miracles, things that no human being can do, to prove that they are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وبين عباده نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأؤمن بأن الله فعال لما يريد and I believe that Allah does what he wills. Yes. Nothing can stop Allah. Whatever Allah wants to do, he does it. What he wants to do and what he wills to do happens. Ma sha Allah kan. Whatever Allah wills will happen, will take place. وما لم يشاء لم يكن. And what he didn't will not happen. No one can stop Allah from doing what he wants to do. وأؤمن بأن الله تعالى فعال لما يريد ولا يكون شيء إلا بإرادته. And nothing happens except by his will. ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. But Allah doesn't will never happen. And you should recall that the will are two types, or it has two aspects: legal will and universal will. The legal will, what Allah loves. Universal will, not necessarily what Allah loves. There are certain things Allah doesn't like, doesn't love, and yet he allows these things to happen in his kingdom for a divine wisdom. Like the kufr, disbelief, people, they disbelieve by the will of Allah. But which one? The universal one, not the legal one, which means he loves it. No, Allah doesn't love it. But since he is just and has given the people the free will, and they chose to disbelieve, and he has given them that free will, he allows them, okay, to act according to their free will. So they decided to disbelieve. Though he doesn't love them to disbelieve. He warned them, and he told them, and he told them, I created you to worship me. And he showed us the path of salvation and the path which will lead to destruction. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Then he said, it's up to you. And you will be held accountable according to your choice. So the sins, the horrible things, the haram, the murder, the killing, all these things that happen according to the universal will. The people themselves decided to do that. And they will be held accountable. For misusing that free will which Allah has given them. Okay? And the evil comes from us, not from Allah. وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And evil cannot be attributed to you. It's not coming from you, the evil. The evil comes from us. When we act to the contrary of his teachings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Fasad, corruption, appeared in bar, on land and in the sea. Of what the hands of the human beings earned. So we are the ones who cause corruption and spread evil, not Allah. وَلَا يَكُونُ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا بِإِرَادَتِهِ. Nothing happens in Allah's kingdom against his will. Because if something happens according against his will, that means he's weak. He's weak. And that's why the scholars, they mentioned a story. Conversation happened between Zoroastrian and one of the Mu'tazilites. The Mu'tazila, they don't believe and approve and confirm the universal will. They say only the legal will, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah loves us to worship him. He loves us to pray, etc. And by the way, the two wills, the universal and the legal, they coexist when we do something good. Let's say now we prayed Maghrib. It is something Allah loved it to happen according to the legal will. And because it happened, occurred, so it is also happened according to the universal will. But if it is something haram, it happened only according to the universal will, not the legal will. So the Mu'tazila, they don't confirm or believe that there is a universal will. So they said Mu'tazilite, he was giving da'wah to this Zoroastrian, and he asked him, become a Muslim. He said, Allah didn't will that. The Zoroastrian said, Allah didn't will it. If he willed it, I will become a Muslim. So here, the Mu'tazilite told him, no, Allah willed that you become a Muslim. But the shaitan doesn't want. Shaitan doesn't want. Then the Zoroastrian told him, then I am with the strongest one. From the two, I'm with the strongest. And who's the strongest here? The shaitan. Because Allah wanted me to be guided, and the shaitan doesn't want me to be guided. So he won. The shaitan won. That's because I'm not Muslim. Allah wants to make me a Muslim. Shaitan doesn't want me to become a Muslim. So shaitan is the strongest. So the Mu'tazili became silent. That's why Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said the Mu'tazila لا دين نصروا ولا عدوا كسروا. They neither add benefit to the deen, make this deen victorious, nor that they broke their enemies. And even when they, the Mu'tazilites, through some debate, they won the debate, not because what they had said, the Mu'tazilites, is true, but because they were intelligent and used their intellect and intellectual arguments, sometimes they won the debate. But that doesn't mean they were correct in their arguments. So here, because this Mu'tazili, he doesn't believe that there is another will which is the universal. So he couldn't convince the Zoroastrian. Another story, a Bedouin lost his she camel. So he saw this pious man, old man. So he came to him and said, Sheikh, I lost my camel. A thief took it. So pray, ask Allah to return it to me. So this Sheikh, he raised his hands and he said, Allahumma, oh Allah, listen to what he said. It's from the Mu'tazila. Mu'tazila, they believe only in the legal will, which is what Allah loves. Allahumma, O Allah, innaka lam tasha linaqati fulan an tusraq. O Allah, you didn't will for the he camel of so-and-so to be stolen. Please, O Allah, return it. The Bedouin, fitrah. When he heard this, he said, oh, what a horrible sheikh. What a fool. What an ignorant one. Now for sure, my camel will not come back. He said, how? He said, what did he say? You said, oh Allah, you didn't will for the he camel of so-and-so to be stolen. So Allah didn't will for my camel to be stolen. And someone stole it against his will. So he was not able to defend my camel. He was weak. Because the thief took the camel against the will of God. Again, this sheikh dropped his jaws, couldn't say anything. But had he believed that there are two aspects of the will, yes, Allah doesn't like the he camel to be stolen. Allah doesn't like theft, but he allowed that to take place. Because there is a universal aspect of the will. Though he doesn't like that to happen, but he allows these things to take place in his kingdom for a divine wisdom. So this thief who stole the camel will be punished, will be brought to justice. His hand will be chopped off. There is kufr. So there are disbelievers. So there will be their da'wah. And people will get a reward because of the da'wah. And there will be jihad. And there will be martyrdoms. And there will be martyrs. Because of the existence of the kufr. If there were no kuffars, there would not be jihad. There would not be martyrs. See, the divine wisdom. If there are no diseases, there will not be medicine, there will not be doctors, there will not be hospitals, no need for all these things. So keep this in mind, that the evils come from us, and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like, they happen according to the universal will. For a divine wisdom behind, there's a divine wisdom behind that. وَلَا يَكُونُ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا بِإِرَادَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Nothing happens except by his will. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ شَيْءٌ عَنْ مَشِيئَتِهِ. Nothing escapes Allah's will, nothing. Nothing happens in his kingdom against his will. Something happens against his will, he's weak, subhanah. Glory be to him. Far is he from any imperfect attribute or any type of imperfection. وَلَا يَخْرُجُ شَيْءٌ عَنْ مَشِيئَتِهِ وَلَيْسَ شَيْءٌ فِي الْعَالَمِ يَخْرُجُ عَنْ تَقْدِيرِهِ. Nothing in this world is out of his qadr. What he decreed, what he planned, everything runs, occurs, takes place according to his decisions and his decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَصْدُرُ إِلَّا عَنْ تَدْبِيرِهِ. Everything that happens because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. وَلَا مَحِيدٌ لِأَحَدٍ عَنِ الْقَدَرِ الْمَحْدُودِ. And you cannot escape Allah's qadr. Cannot escape Allah's qadr. And remember, the four components and elements of qadr. علم كتابة مشيئة خلق. Four components. علم, knowledge. Allah knew things before they happen. Because he knows things, he commanded the pen to write, the writing. So knowledge, writing. Then will. But he wills happen. But he doesn't happen. Then the creation. So Allah knew, wrote, willed, and he created. So these are the four components and elements of the qadr. So we do not escape his qadr. That's why when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was going to Jerusalem and he heard about the break of the plague, he stopped moving forward, advancing, marching, continuing his journey, and started to consult the Sahaba. Sahaba were divided into groups. One say, what Allah has written will happen, so we have to continue. The other, they say, no, Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is fatal disease, this is contagious, this is pandemic. Don't. Sayyidina Umar decided to go back. And the whole army did not hear about the hadith of the plague, except Abdurrahman ibn Auf was not present. When he came back, he saw the army on the move and he asked them, they told him, and he told them the hadith. If you hear about the break of the plague in a city, in a town, and you are inside, do not leave. If you're outside, do not enter. Abu Ubaidah told Sayyidina Umar, "Atafirru min qadarillah ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Are you fleeing from Allah's qadr, O Amir al-Mu'mineen?" He said, "I flee from Allah's qadr to Allah's qadr. I don't escape Allah's qadr," which means going back by Allah's qadr. Going back to Medina is by Allah's qadr. So I'm not escaping Allah's qadr. Or the thief during the reign of Sayyidina Umar, when he said, by Allah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I stole by Allah's qadr, which is true, by the qadr of Allah, which is the universal will. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed, that this thief, he will, on this day, freely, by his own choice, he will steal. He knew that. And he will be held accountable. And he will be punished. So I said, I stole by Allah's qadr. He said, yes. And we are cutting it by Allah's qadr. We are cutting it by Allah's qadr. When you fall sick by Allah's qadr. And then you go to the doctor by Allah's qadr. And you take the medicine by Allah's qadr. And you recover from your sickness by Allah's qadr. That's why. Yudfa'ul qadr bil qadr. You ward off Allah's qadr by Allah's qadr. You feel sick by Allah's qadr. You take the medicine and go to the doctor by Allah's qadr. So don't escape Allah's qadr. So always keep these four things in mind. And don't use Allah's knowledge as an excuse. So because Allah knew. Yes, Allah knew. But Allah's knowledge and the writing doesn't interfere in your choice at all. At all. لسي العلماء علم الله سابق لا سائق سابق لا سائق. This is a prior knowledge. Allah knew, that's it. It doesn't drive you and compel you to commit the haram. When you commit the haram, perpetrate the sin, that is by your own choice, by your own free will. By your own free will. So the writing doesn't interfere here. So don't say it is written and use that as an excuse. And always remember that example of the headmaster and the teacher. Headmaster came before the final and asked the teacher, what do you think the result will be? Say, that student is bright, will get A plus, B plus, C plus, C minus, he will get F. I trust you, announce the result. No need to give them exam. If the teacher does what his headmaster tells him, both of them will end behind bar. Because the one whom they failed will file a case and he will win it in the court. But if the teacher writes on a piece of paper, according to his knowledge of his, the background of his students, and put it in the drawer, and give them the exam, and the results came identical of what he projected and what he wrote down, can the one who failed come and say, sir, you know what? I failed because you wrote in that piece of paper that I will fail. Say, it lost. What my writing has to do with your failure? Nothing. You failed because you didn't study. You didn't revise. So don't use the writing as an excuse at all. And that writing, which is in the preserved tablet, will not be used against us as a proof on the day of resurrection. No. The writing that will be used against us is how we answer the exam paper. The proof that will be used against the student who failed is the result, his paper, his exam paper. These are your marks. Not that paper which was put in the drawer. So similarly, the result of our exam in the dunya, so whoever passed that exam, his certificate will be given to him in his right hand. And the one who failed, his certificate will be given in his left hand. And he will be told, Iqra kitabak. Read your book, read your result, read the result of your exam, what you have been doing in the dunya, read it. Is there any missing mark? Is there any mistake the angels made? And Allah said, everyone will be astonished. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What an amazing book. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة. Doesn't miss anything. Big or small. Major or minor. Except it is jotted. Recorded. إلا أحصاها. ووجدوا ما عمل حاضرا. They will find what they did. Present before the eyes. With the time is time. You did this on this day, on this date, in this place. Can you deny that? Things that we have forgotten. ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Counted. Jotted. Recorded. ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا. You will find what they did. Present. ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And your Lord does not wrong anyone. These are your deeds. These are the results of your exams. You failed in the test. Yes. You're supposed to graduate today and enter the Jannah, but you failed in the exam. And see your works. This is what you did. ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And Allah does not wrong anyone. Allah has given us free will in the dunya and told us, I want you to enter the Jannah. I created Jannah for you. I prepared it for you. I created hellfire. And I warned you and I told you and I informed you about the Jannah and I informed you about the hellfire. I didn't hide anything from you. I made everything clear to you. And you decided to go to hell. That's what you chose. ولا يتجاوز ما خط له في اللوح المسطور no one can escape what is written in the preserved tablet because the writing that will be used against us is the writing of our deeds after we committed the deeds that the angel wrote, which means the results of our exams. That is the writing will be used. And it will be identical to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote in the preserved tablet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from going astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge in the deen. And may Allah deliver us from on the day of resurrection and grant us admission to Jannat al-Na'im. By his grace and by his mercy. Ameen. And may Allah show his mercy in our Imam, Sheikh Muhammad, rahimahullah ta'ala, and elevate his status in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah unite our ummah in the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khayra, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khair, Sheikh Salim. Inshallah, we'll start the question and answer session. Brothers and sisters, please send in your questions if you have any fast. And you can raise your hands, inshallah, ask the questions directly also. Sheikh, we have received some questions already. We will begin with those, inshallah. Okay, the first question. When the Quran gets taken away and we forget it, how are we going to pray?
That's towards the end of time. Towards the end of time. And they will be just making dhikr. Towards the end of time, that's what will happen. Next.
The next question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair for the beneficial class. Question number one. What is the Shari'i perspective on a Muslima wearing high-heeled shoes?
It's not recommended because the ulama, they said when she's wearing high-heeled shoes, this will show her reveal her body, her buttocks will be exposed, things like that. So because it's not healthy as well. It's not good for your health. And you wonder, because any mistake you will fall, because it's so thin. And some they made metal at the bottom. So, and some they make noise, ding, music when they walk to draw the attention of men. So a Muslim should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah prohibited that women should not hit the ground in those days, so that people they hear her anklets. So similarly today, the shoes, you can know without seeing, oh, there's a woman coming because of her shoes. Tick, 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 tick. Next.
The next question, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. MashaAllah, very beneficial dars. My question is, some sects say Quran depends on hadith. Without hadith, we can't understand Quran. And other sects say Quran is Kitabullah. It does not depend upon anything. Everything is dependent upon the Quran. Which is the right opinion, Sheikh?
There is truth in both opinions, okay? So the ones who are saying that we need the Sunnah to explain the Quran, that is very true, because there are ayat muhkamat, the ayat mujmalat, there are rulings in the Quran that are summarized, not detailed. So you need the Sunnah to explain it to you. How can you pray? How many rak'ahs? The Quran didn't say that. The Quran said, waqimu salah. That's it. So who teaches you, who explains that ayah, waqimu salah, establish the prayers? The Sunnah. The Quran says, wa'atu zakah, and give zakah. How much? What's the zakah of gold? What's the zakah of silver? What's the zakah of the livestock? What's the zakah of the crops? Where did you find that? The Sunnah. So the Sunnah explains the Quran. So without the Sunnah, you will not be able to worship Allah. The Salah itself, you will not be able to pray without the explanation of the Sunnah. And that is actually the role of the Prophet ﷺ. His role is to explain to us what Allah has revealed to him. Likewise, those who are saying the Quran, everything is there in the Quran, true. Quran contains everything. But who is the one who can extract and explain it? The Prophet ﷺ. And that's what he did. So his Sunnah explains that Quran, which is contains everything. But who explained it? The Prophet ﷺ. And that's why his Sunnah is also wahi, revelation from Allah. وَمَا يَنْتُقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ لَوَحِيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So the Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak out of his own desires. He is inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. So when Ibn Mas'ud said, a woman who plucks her eyebrows, she is cursed in the book of Allah. A woman came, said, Ibn Mas'ud, I have read the Quran from the kafa to the kafa. I've read it. And you are saying that the one who blocks her eyebrows, she is cursed in the book of Allah. Where is it? Ibn Mas'ud is a faqih. He told her, had you read the Quran with understanding, you would have found it. Didn't you read, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا? Didn't you read, whatever the Prophet ﷺ gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you, abstain from it? She said, yes. He said, the Prophet ﷺ, he cursed the one who blocks her eyebrows. She kept quiet, and then she wanted to provoke Ibn Mas'ud. She told him, but your wife blocks her eyebrows. He told her, go inside and check. She went, came out. She said, no, she doesn't. He told her, do you think she will live with me if she does that? Sahaba, they are strict. Do you think Ibn Mas'ud will live with a woman who plucks her eyebrows, a woman who is cursed by Allah's Prophet? No. Is this clear to the questioner? So the Sunnah explains the Quran, my dear brothers and sisters. Not only that, there are rulings in the Sunnah that are not there in the Quran. For example, you cannot marry a woman and her maternal aunt or paternal aunt. This is not in the Quran. There are many rulings in the Sunnah, not in the Quran. The prohibition of eating wild animals, lions and tigers, and the Sunnah. So that's why the Quran and the Sunnah, they are wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. If not, the questioner can ask a follow-up question. The next question, Sheikh. A brother got sick while he fasted today. He broke his fast after he vomited in order to seek medication. Was he sinful?
No, not at all. Not at all. First of all, it is nafil. Okay, fasting Monday is nafil. And inshallah, he will get the reward. So he's not sinful, no, not at all. See, the Prophet ﷺ one day, he came out and he was not intending to fast. So he asked his family, do you have food? So he was not, he didn't have the niyyah to fast. He said, no, we don't have anything. So he said, I'm going to fast. So he had the niyyah in the morning, the intention. In another hadith, the one who is fasting nafil, he is amiru nafsihi. He is the amir upon himself. He can break his fast if he wants to do that. Okay? That's why if you are invited and you are fasting and the host said, break your fast, okay, you break your fast. And if he tells you, okay, you can continue fasting, then pray for the host and the rest of the guests. Is this clear to the questioner?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair for the lessons. May Allah reward you. I am due to travel to the US because my husband wants to see his family. Can I take out travel insurance in case of falling ill in the US or my children falling ill? The health system there charges tens of thousands of pounds for illnesses. So it would be to recover that. Or to cover that.
And who is the healer? And who causes us to fall sick? Listen to me, my dear questioner. Why we don't have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why don't we have yaqeen? Why we assume always negative things to happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibrahim said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I fall sick, he's the one who heals me. And now this is not something happened. Why you assume that the children will fall sick? Why? Keep praying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, protect your children, and that you come back home safely. And you take precautionary measures. In case something, you take money with you for emergency, in case something happens, as a test for you. But to go and issue a certificate for insurance. We know insurance is haram. Whether it is life insurance, whatever. And it is not a necessity. And just because of guessing and just conjecturing and just in case of something happened, the answer no. See Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't do that. May Allah grant you and your children health, and may Allah protect all of you and bring you back safely. Okay? Ameen. Is this clear to the questioner?
Shall I disclose yet? We go to the next. Next question, Sheikh. Sheikh, if we make dua for someone who is not practicing, will Allah give them hidayah because of our dua?
Inshallah. That's why we make dua. Our responsibility, our duty is to make dua for them. The hidayah, the guidance, the one who opens people's heart is Allah. And we don't know when Allah will open their hearts. So we keep making dua for them. Yes. Next.
Brother Ali Ibrahim, if you'd like to ask your question, inshallah, please raise your hand. We'll unmute your mic, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
My dear Sheikh and our panel, I'm so much happy to be with you, our Sheikh, and listen, attend this class. JazakAllah khairan. Allah bless you. Allah bless our brothers, the panelists. I would like to ask you Surah Yasin, verse number 82, when Allah said, Innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. I would like to know the greater meaning. JazakAllah khair, Sheikh.
Well, yeah. I mean, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, wants something, he says to it, be and it is. And this be and it is according to his will. For example, the creation of Adam happened in phases. Though he said, be and it is. but he created him in phases. Okay? That's why when you read in the Quran the creation of Adam alayhi salam, once Allah described him min teen, min turab, hama masnoon. These are phases. So Adam was created over a period of time by the command B. So he sent angels and they collected the material of which Adam was created from the earth, different parts of the earth, and according to the different colors of the earth collected, his children are like that. Dark skin, white skin, brown skin, all that. Because that is the component, the ingredients. And then this earth was mixed with water, became clean, mud. And left for a while, it started to stink, hama masnoon. Then he was shaped and left to dry, like the clay. Then the soul was blown into it and life started. So it took time. There are phases. Though Allah said be, and he was. The same thing when he created Isa alayhi salam, be, and he was. Mary carried Isa for 9 months. She didn't conceive him just like that and delivered him just like that. No. 9 months he was in her womb. And then she delivered him. Is this clear to you, Akhi?
Yes, yes, dear Sheikh. It's very clear. JazakAllah khairan. So, Imam Ahmed said Kana is for Isa.
He said, Isa Kana bikun. Isa was created by the command B. Walam yakun kun. And he was not the word B. Because the word B is the command of Allah. Is it clear to you, Akhi?
Yes, yes, Sheikh. JazakAllah khairan. Allah bless you. Allah bless you, Sheikh.
Allah bless you too.
Ameen, ameen, ameen.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. That was our final question for tonight. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum. JazakAllahu Allah khair. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beneficial knowledge and the righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen al-Islam. Always, my dear brothers and sisters, keep praying to Allah that Allah keeps you remain steadfast in this deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us up on the day of resurrection in the company of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah forgive us and overlook all our misdeeds. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely and elevate your status in this life and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillahi wa ri'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.